Corey and I have been in a series called First Things First. The title of today's message is On the Go. And I want us to think for a moment about why the church, why our church exists. And let's just think about our location, if you will, here for a moment. And some other outfits, some other institutions near us. Let me put a photo up here on the screen. There's the first one. And what do these various institutions bring to the table? All right, so here you have Kroger. And what do they bring to the table? Answer, groceries. And groceries are important. Let's put another photo up here. There you go. And so obviously this is a bank. And does a bank have something important to offer to a community? Answer, yes. What do they bring to the table? Money. And people get pretty fired up about that. Now there's a third group. I'll put that photo up here in just a moment. But there's a third group, a third outfit, a third institution. And without this particular institution or group, without this particular outfit, I submit to you that our community would be less joyful, less energetic, it would have less vitality. Here it is. Wouldn't you agree? Kroger and places like them, they traffic in groceries. And bank, they traffic in cash. And then there are coffee shops, they traffic in caffeine. And we get pretty fired up about that too. But then there's another outfit, and here it is. Yeah. The First Colony Church of Christ. And the bank's got money, the store's got groceries, another place has caffeine, but we offer Jesus. We offer the good news of the gospel, the way of Christ. And Jesus did not entrust the gospel. He did not entrust his message to a coffee shop or a grocery store or a bank, but to the church. Now, let me just remind you of some basic axioms that describe us. Let's put this up on the screen. Our mission, we exist to honor God and lead people into a growing relationship with him. You say, well, Ronnie, that sounds nice. Let me tell you, that's tough. It's tough to do across the board. We have to keep reminding ourselves of that. It's tough to do personally because sometimes in my own life, I really do want to honor God. And sometimes I really do want a growing relationship with him. But quite honestly, sometimes I just want a nice little boutique church experience. I want my favorite seat. I want comfortable things. And there's nothing wrong with comfort unless it interferes with mission. And so our vision, let's put these words up. We gather, we grow, we go. And here's what we do. We gather in larger groups to praise and in smaller groups to connect. We want to grow as lifelong, enthusiastic followers of Jesus, and we want to go, make a bold difference for Jesus at home, in church, in the community, and beyond. Let me say it a little differently. We worship God. We release compassion in the name of Jesus. We are a community of belonging, and we rescue and we nurture souls. That's what we do. Okay, I have 3 points this morning, and here's the first one. You ready? Everyone needs the grace of Jesus Christ. And that's a bold statement, but everyone needs the grace of Jesus Christ. Now, is there anyone that you can think of who would really fall into the category of the I don't need Jesus category? Do you think God in heaven ever looks down and says, look at those folks in Fort Bend County? For several years, it's been voted one of the best places to live in America. Look at their opportunities. Look at their educational opportunities. Look at their business opportunities. Look at all those folks in Fort Bend County. Do they really need the gospel? Do they really need the grace of my son? Look at their affluence. Look at their opportunities. And I submit to you, everyone needs the grace of Jesus Christ. Why? Because sometimes in the midst of affluence and in the midst of opportunities, we forget that everybody needs an ultimate purpose for living. We forget that everybody sins and that everybody needs redemption and that everybody dies and everybody will face an eternity either under grace or outside of grace. My friends, life is too short. Eternity too long. Heaven and hell are very real places, and real people go there. This is no time to play games and play church. Everyone needs the grace of Jesus Christ. One of the best known statements in all the Bible is this one. Here it is. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only, his monogenes, his unique, no one like him, his one and only son, that whosoever believes in him shall not, here's the word, shall not perish. And sometimes people want to shy away from that. You know, we'll celebrate Christmas, we'll celebrate Easter. We celebrate Jesus. You know why Jesus came? Because without Jesus, we perish. People want to sanitize the gospel. That's why sometimes people are ashamed of the gospel, if you think it through. Everyone needs grace. Everyone needs Jesus. And without him, we perish. But with him, notice, so that we would not perish, but have eternal life, praise God. And for God didn't send Jesus into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. And sometimes people read this and they say, oh my goodness, that's very, very particular. You're saying Jesus is the only way to God, and I'm saying Jesus said that about himself. And on this side of the empty tomb, you can look and see for yourself evidence for who Jesus is. And you know, there are times to be very, very particular. I like for my pharmacist to be particular. I do. I never want to walk in to my pharmacy and have my pharmacist say, you know, Ronnie, our computer system is down, so just pick out anything. Whatever you want, just pick it out. I want my bank to be very, very particular. When I make a deposit, I want it to go in my account with my account number. Well, aren't they being too particular? Yes. You know, a few years ago, I had a chance to go up in the control tower at Bush Intercontinental Airport. I have a friend with the Houston Airport Authority. They worked it out. I had to be vetted, and vetted again. Security was incredible, but I got to go there one day and actually go up in the control tower. It was fantastic. I got to spend a couple of hours up there. Somebody asked me, they said, Ronnie, did they allow you to direct some takeoffs and landings? Yeah. No, absolutely not. And you know why they wouldn't let me do that? Because they are very, very particular about who they allow to direct air traffic in the Houston area. I'm thankful for that, aren't you? I'm very thankful for that. And when I was there watching the air traffic controllers, they were very particular. They don't tell flights, just pick an altitude. Just pick a runway, whatever looks good to you. No, they are very specific. You got to be at a certain waypoint, a certain altitude, a specific speed, and you need to land on a very specific runway and runway heading. And our great God has been so gracious to us and provided a way of salvation. Jesus came not to condemn the world, but to save the world. And by his sacrificial death And by his resurrection, we can be made new and fresh again. Everyone needs Jesus. You do. And, my friends, and you can help someone take one step. Take one step closer to him. All right, let me move on. Point number two. Anyone can say, come and see. Anyone can do that. Anyone can say, hey, just check it out. Anyone can say, hey, just evaluate. Just take a look at the message, at the story of Jesus, and see if it's valid, and to see if it's worth trusting and following. Let me put a photo up here. You know who this is. One of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. And he lives right here. C.J. Stroud. And he is, in my opinion, a most impressive young man. Wouldn't you agree? I just think he's very, very impressive. After all of his interviews, and he's had such an incredible season, probably a rookie of the year season, and after all of his interviews, actually at the beginning of every interview he does, he'll say, first and foremost, I just want to give all glory and praise to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And he's bold and he's clear. You know what he's doing, don't you? He's witnessing. And you know what a witness does. A witness simply says, check it out. A witness simply says, I believe this. I'm not trying to convince you. I'm not debating. I'm not arguing. You know, there's a difference between witnessing and convincing. And a lot of people think when you witness, you have to convince. No, just, he says, I want to give glory to my Lord and my Savior, Jesus Christ. Of course, recently he said those words in NBC, edited out those comments, and then some other reporters went back to C.J. Stroud, wanted to get him to, you know, say something perhaps inflammatory. And he just took the high road. He said, I really just want to show love and show people what I stand for. And I pray for everybody. I just pray for everyone. He went on and he said, I feel like, of course, football is amazing, but one day this sport will be done. This is our passion, but our purpose is bigger than just football. He says, it's cool to see people use their platform to show their purpose and to show the Lord. And I think we've got a great community of believers in this football league and around the sports world. And the more that we can do with our platform, the better we can make this world, and hopefully we can help people find Christ and really understand how much God loves you. And that's from a 22-year-old. Anybody can say, anyone can say, just check it out. Here's what I believe. I believe this happened in history. This has been my experience. Just come and see. Now, I get those words from the story we're about to read out of John chapter 1, okay? Here we go. John 1, beginning verse 35. The next day, John, now this is John the Baptist here, John the Baptist, was there again with two of his disciples. And when he saw Jesus passing by, he said, look, the Lamb of God. Well, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who would follow Jesus. So you got that? Andrew is there with John the Baptist, and he says, there's Jesus. He's the Lamb of God. And Andrew, you know, Peter, Andrew, James, and John, that Andrew begins to follow Jesus. And the first thing he did, next verse, 41, the first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, we found the Messiah, that is the Christ, and he brought him to Jesus. So the first thing Andrew did was find his brother Peter, and he brought him to Jesus. Well, the next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. And Jesus found Philip. And he said to Philip, follow me. Well, Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida, which is on the northern shore of the Sea of Galilee. And Philip found his friend Nathanael. So you get this? Andrew becomes a follower of Jesus. Andrew says to his brother Simon Peter, hey, check this out. Join the fun. Come on in on what I found. Philip encounters Jesus, becomes a believer, and says to his friend Nathanael, we have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Nazareth, Nathanael said. He said, can anything good from there? Because Nazareth is this little podunk, obscure village, population of about 300. And so Nathanael, just like a lot of people do, the first thing he does when he hears about Jesus, he just throws up some objections. Well, I mean, what about this? What about that? What about this? What about that? Can anything come out of Nazareth? And notice what Philip says to him next. Let's just check it out. I'm not going to argue. I'm not going to try to, you know, wear you down right now. All I'm saying to you, this is not a moment for teaching. This is just a moment where I'm asking you, I believe this. I've encountered Jesus. I believe this. And all I'm saying to you is, check it out. Just come and see. That's all. And anyone can say, come and see. And quite honestly, sometimes it's even healthy to say, go and see. Because we're not just interested in institutional building. We're interested in building the kingdom of God. And sometimes you may work up in the city and you encounter someone and they live in Conroe. And you need to say, go and see. Go to a good, healthy church and just check it out. Evaluate. I was going to tell you a story. And as I was kind of looking over my notes on Friday, I thought, well, X that out. It was about a friend of mine that I've not really talked to in 4 or 5 years. But I'm in my office Friday morning, and so I decided I'm not going to tell this story that I'm about to tell you. It involved a friend of mine I really hadn't talked to in 4 or 5 years, and I'm sitting in my office, and I got an email from him. Okay, so I thought, it's a sign. I need to tell the story. My friend's name's Art. Wife is Pat. I first met them in another state. They actually lived here in Houston for a while and were here at our church for a while. Some of you remember them. Art and Pat, years ago, had already filed for divorce. Their marriage was over, it was done. And a friend of Art's said, you know, you've tried about everything else. Why don't you try the way of Jesus? Just check it out. Give it a shot. He said, come and see. Just come with me. And Art and Pat did that. And today, Art and Pat are still together. They've raised 2 daughters. They've been married a little over 40 years. They have grandchildren. Art's business career has taken him all over the United States, and everywhere they've gone, they've planted and they've served in a local church, and Art and Pat have served as leaders in local churches, and he was just reaching out to me Friday morning, and I thought, that's just one story of anyone can say, just check it out. No argument. Come and see. Go and see. And if you have trouble believing, that's okay. Everybody starts somewhere. Maybe pick up the book by Lee Strobel, The Case for Christ. Lee Strobel was an award-winning journalist, and he got tired of people inviting him to church. He said, I'm going to disprove once and for all this resurrection business. He starts researching it, becomes a believer, writes a book called The Case for Christ. Everyone needs the grace of Jesus, and anyone can say, just come and see. Because when we can see a person not just as they are today, but who that person could be under the redemptive power of grace, under the leading touch of the Holy Spirit. We can have a vision for who they can be. All right, very quickly, point number three. You know, sometimes we'll say doors open one at a time. I'm going to say it like this. Doors open someone at a time. And who might be your someone? Who might be your one? And it might be a family member. It might be a friend. Because, you know, really, for 2,000 years, there has been no go strategy, no outreach strategy more effective than the simple invitation from a friend or a trusted family member to someone that with clarity and conviction and kindness just says, come and see. Just check it out. And doors open, someone at a time. Who might be your one? All right, I'm going to read a passage of Scripture, and then I'm going to give you four words. Here's the Scripture. Colossians 4, beginning verse 3. And pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ for which I am in chains, and pray that I might proclaim it clearly, as I should, and be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity, and let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt. In other words, it's got some substance to it, so that you may know how to answer everyone. He says, just pray that I'll walk through open doors with an open heart and an open mind and an open mouth. Now, let me put four words up here. Courage. We need to be people of courage and clarity. This is who I am. Like a C.J. Stroud says, this is who I am. My colors are clear. This is what I believe. This is who I believe in. And we're not embarrassed or ashamed at that. And then character. As people are around you on a consistent basis, they'll sense you're not a poser. You're not a poser. You're legit. And there's integrity about you. And that doesn't mean you always bat 1,000. It means that sometimes when there are failings, and there will inevitably come failings, we don't always get it right, but we can make it right. And we're the kind of person who can apologize, who can make amends. There's courage. There's character. There's concern. And you know how you show concern. You show concern by your words, what you say, how you say it. You show concern by how you pay attention to the words of someone else that says, your perspective is important to me. And you show concern often just through simple little small acts of kindness that can brighten a house, brighten a family, brighten a marketplace, and conversation. This is where we're not silent. We might say, come and see, or go and see, or check it out. I want to encourage you to be the person who will raise some faith flags. You know what I mean when I say raise a faith flag, don't you? You just throw up a little snapshot of who you are. It might be something as simple as, well, this weekend I'll be going to the men's retreat at church at my church, or I found out that you're going through something, and I'm sorry, and I am a believer. Would you mind if my husband and I, if my wife and I, if my family, if tonight when we pray, would you mind if I prayed for you? And what you're doing, you're just throwing up these little faith flags that says, this is who I am. This is where I stand. This is what I believe. And you're opening up that possibility for ongoing and further conversations. My friends, if we would all do just the small thing we can do, I believe we'll touch many more lives. Who's your someone? We can't help everyone, You can't do everything, but doors open someone at a time. And anyone, even you, can say, just come and see. Just check it out. Your version of just check it out. Because everyone needs the grace of Jesus.